Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Casey Moore. I'm the organizing director of Workers United Upstate New York and Vermont. I won't be speaking today, but I will be introducing the Hyatt workers and the other folks that will be speaking today. So thank you all for coming. We'll do some quick remarks this morning, and then we will open it up for questions. So hopefully we won't be out here in the cold more than necessary. So as a quick introduction, as you all know and saw in the media advisory, Hyatt workers have started quietly organizing over the summer and announced their campaign to management. And in response, the Hyatt has responded with one of the worst union busting campaigns that we've seen, akin to the things that Starbucks was doing, 3 years ago now in Buffalo. So we are here today to share updates about that campaign and also share updates that we have filed charges with the National Labor Relations Board in relation to the Hyatt Regency's conduct regarding the union campaign. So I will start it off with Luke Sillis, who will speak first.
Sure.
Yep.
So, can you spell your first and last name when you get started, please?
Yes. So my name is Luke, L-U-K-E, last name S-I-L-L-S. I am a front desk worker at the Hyatt here. I've been here at this point for about a year and a half. And maybe I should start by saying, you know, there were a lot of reasons that we got interested in doing this in the first place. I think a lot of us really, you know, sort of believe in this building, you know, it's a building with a long history and a lot of promise. And it is a cool job, like at its core, you know, being a front desk worker or, you know, just working in a hotel in general. And I think a lot of us really like each other, you know, we'll really enjoy the people we work with. And I think that's sort of got us to stick around longer than maybe a lot of people would in this job. So we really appreciate this place. And I think the initial impetus for like organizing a union was to, you know, find a way that we could have a voice, you know, to sort of make the things better that we know need to be better. And really just sort of try to make our jobs better, but also like the jobs of our managers better, who are all very great people too, as well as sort of to improve, I guess like the guest experience of the place, right? That like we know, you know, what needs to be fixed here, and just, you know, to have a way to get more involved and sort of make the changes that we want to see. And I think for me personally, it's been like really sort of shocking and a bit horrifying to see the ways that they've responded to our campaign so far. We came public, I think at some point in August. I've lost track of all the dates at this point. Time has just flown by. And immediately, you know, they pulled me into their office, you know, our general manager, Steve, and the HR director, Nicole, for like 45 minutes, you know, basically to interrogate me about what I thought I was doing getting involved in this, like what I even thought a union could do for us. And I was expecting them to sort of try to persuade me out of it, but sort of by the end of that interrogation, it was clear that they were trying to intimidate me, basically, right? They were saying things to me like, oh, you're gonna learn a thing or two about unions from all of this. You know, this is gonna be a very uncomfortable process for you all. And to be honest, I think I got off easy, right? Since that point, you can read the list of the charges, but, you know, since that point, they've gone around telling people like, oh, we know who the union supporters are. We know, you know, who you're talking to. So be careful what you sign and who you talk to. They've threatened workers in all kinds of ways. And, you know, more recently in the past, like month, even just in the past month, they've fired, I think, 8 people now. From the departments that we sort of petitioned for an election for, right? So from Starbucks, they pretty much wiped out the whole department, right? There were 9 people who worked in the Starbucks, and today I think one of them, this is their last week, but only 2 people remain that were working here a month ago. And they've started doing something similar in the restaurant too. So I personally was very shocked to see how quickly they turned on all of us. You know, I think a few months ago, like I personally was Employee of the Year last year, which is kind of like a corny, like phony award. You know, because there's a lot of people who've been here much longer, who've worked a lot harder, you know, who didn't get any kind of award like that. But just to see how quickly they turned on me and turned on all the other people in this building, you know, who are really good at their jobs, really invested in their jobs, and just frankly good people, some of whom have like kids and families, just because they've decided that they want to win this at whatever cost it takes. They don't care, you know, who they put out on the street, you know, to do that. So on the bright side, you know, there have been some people who've been really supportive of us too. You can see my union pins on my sort of blazer here. There's plenty of guys who come up to us and, you know, voice some support, say like, oh, you know, I really hope you guys win the election. You know, I support unions. I think it's really cool. And there have been some big groups as well, like the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers was here, and they were awesome. They all like went around talking to us about why they thought unions were cool and that they really valued what we were doing. There was a group from Cornell that did that too. But I think the last thing I would say, there's only so much that we're able to do in this building, right? To like fight this and sort of withstand like this terror campaign that they've launched on us to try to scare everyone out of, you know, even just wanting to be caught talking to someone like me. You know, because word has spread very quickly that people are getting fired for this, right? It's brazen what they're doing, and so I think we're hoping that the public can put some pressure on, you know, this hotel and, you know, Douglas Schmall, who owns this hotel, you know, to put a stop to this. I think so. That's all I had. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Lucas. Next, we will have a second Hyatt worker, T-Bus, speak. Just say your full name and spell it if you don't.
Okay, we'll do. Hi guys, my name is Tiba Salvatore, T-I-B-A, Salvatore, S-A-L-V-A-T-O-R-E. I had only started working at the Hyatt back in April, and I'm a pretty new worker, and I got involved in the union campaign really, really quickly, because even before the union campaign was brought to my attention and I was told about it, I had noticed very, very quickly the very hostile and toxic work environment that management created for the workers. I know that there is a few managers in here that will definitely, that they know that's not who I'm talking about. It's specifically the general manager and the HR manager, Nicole. They are the ones who created a very hostile work environment, and I could clearly tell that there's something wrong in this place before the union campaign even was brought to my attention. I remember saying that I might be contacting Hyatt HR regarding what's going on. They had already shown me their true colors prior to the union election, so I knew what I was getting into whenever it was brought to my attention. They had talked to Luke the first day, and they had pretty much given him a heads up that they were gonna be very, very hostile about this whole process. They started off pretty much just ignoring all the workers that were a part of the union committee, the workers that signed the union letter to the managers and to the workers. They stopped making eye contact with everybody. They would not say good morning or anything like that, which again, it does show a little bit of childishness on their part, but that's not what I'm here to speak about. I was an immigrant. I immigrated here when I was 13 years old, and the majority of the housekeeping department here at the Hyatt are immigrants from Africa, from Bangladesh, from all over the world, honestly. And I see the way that immigrant workers are being treated here at the Hyatt specifically. I have been told by so many housekeepers during my time here that the American and Hispanic housekeepers are getting maybe 8 to 10 rooms to do in one day, versus the African housekeepers are getting 28 rooms in one day and are expected to go down and help with laundry after they're done. Immigration fairness is something that I feel very, very strongly about, because I feel like I get treated a little bit differently because of how I look, but I'm definitely an immigrant. I was not born here, and just because I speak English doesn't mean that I am better than anybody else who works in Hyatt. And these are people that are very smart and that are getting treated very, very unfairly throughout this process. I know that we have had a lot of very, very strange scare tactics from management towards the housekeeping department. Examples being telling them not to speak to front desk workers or workers that are involved with the union, including housekeeping workers. There are a couple of them that have been very outspoken about supporting the union, and I can tell you that they were told to not speak to those workers, to not go near them. Of course, it was very, very hush-hush. I can tell you that we've been threatened, and there are workers that have been fired, just like Luke said, from Starbucks. There are a couple of workers that were fired for reasons that honestly were not, there are policies that were not enforced before that have been enforced since the union had came out. For example, when I first interviewed here, it was back in April, I was supposed to interview with the HR manager, Nicole. She was not around to interview me. She was in a property in Vermont, and I was interviewed by the general manager, Steve, who the second I sat down, it was during breakfast time, he offered me some coffee. I said no at first. He said no, like, let's go get some coffee. I thought that he was going to grab some coffee from the breakfast place. Instead, he just took me over to Starbucks and pretty much told them whatever she would like on the house, pretty much. And that was my very first impression. And then in the following months, I have seen both him and Nicole actually go behind the counter in Starbucks and grab their own drinks. But somehow, some way, after workers started wearing union pins, people were getting fired at Starbucks for giving out free drinks, even though they have helped themselves to the free drinks for months at that point in front of everybody's eyes. I think that they, especially then, they need to be held very accountable for how they've treated this whole process. I'm not sure who honestly hired the union busters that have been coming to the hotel, Omar and Jaime. They've both been getting paid. They're a third party that have been getting paid to come and talk to workers for hours at a time about just hypotheticals. Oh, well, maybe it's gonna take years. Maybe this and this is that, to try and scare them against the union. And I was told by both of them that they were hired from higher up and that it wasn't Steve and Nicole who brought them in. I'm not sure if it was Ambridge. I'm not sure if it was Jamal, but honestly, it is very, very shameful the way that they've treated everybody throughout this process.
Thank you, Tiba. Next, we will have New York State Senator Sean Ryan joining us. Senator Ryan is an incredible advocate for workers' rights, and we are so appreciative of all the work that he does and for him being here and standing always with workers. He's an incredible advocate for workers' rights. So thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my honor to be here today. The right to unionize is in the United States Constitution. Sometimes corporations try to treat unionization as an anti-American activity, some sort of foreign concept. But I'll tell you this, the founding fathers have it in the Constitution, and we're here today to assert our constitutional rights. And that constitutional right says you should be able to come together to collectively bargain. And that's what's happening. And companies feel this as a threat. And we all know why they treat it as a threat. Because they want to pay workers less money. That's always the bottom line. I'm the chair of the Economic Development Committee in the Senate, and we know through our data that unionized workers get paid more, have better benefits, stay in their jobs longer, and have a better quality of work life. That's the economy that we're trying to build in New York State. And that's what's happening here. The unionized workforce is also good for Buffalo because there's conferences that won't come to Buffalo because there's no unionized hotels. There are corporations who will only come into the market and bring a convention here if the workers are paid a fair wage and have representation. And we don't have that. We used to have that in Buffalo. That all fell apart 30 years ago. But you drive down to Pittsburgh, hotels are unionized there. People have democracy in their workplace. You got in Thruway, go to Albany. Every hotel I stay in Albany, I ask. All their workers are unionized. And they'll tell you it leads to a better workforce. It leads to people staying in their jobs longer. They dig into their jobs. But what we want at the end of the game is that everybody who works in our hospitality industry is paid a wage that they can live on and support their families on. And that's what's been missing. It's the missing link in the Buffalo hospitality economy. We say we want to grow our tourism. We say we want to grow our hospitality as if the rising tide of that lifts all boats. But it doesn't in Buffalo, because the folks who work in hotels are paid less money than they are in a Hyatt in Pittsburgh, and they're paid less money than they are in a Hyatt in Albany. So if we want a better economy in Western New York, if we want a hospitality and tourism industry that actually contributes to the whole economy, it's a no-brainer that the company who's running this should agree and sign off that they want a union here and allow the workers to assert their constitutional rights, and that is the right to come together and to collectively bargain. And we know what companies do. They can throw an anchor out. They can slow it down. They'll start firing people. They'll identify who's the biggest ringleader, and they'll cut their hours. So we know the corporate script, but you don't have to follow it. Strongest employers in Buffalo are union employers. Those employees are not on food stamps. They're not on Medicaid. They're not on Child Health Plus. And that's what we are in our economy. That's what we want. And I'm here today to stand with the folks behind me. But we hope it starts here and it ends up in every hotel in Western New York. It's good for our economy. Thanks for having me today. And thank you to each worker here who's gone out on a limb to say this is what we believe in, and we hope that the legal process supports you the way it's supposed to, and that there's not unjust terminations and people being harassed and intimidated in the workplace, because that is not what the law is designed to do. But we know in the wrong hands, with the wrong law firms, that's what happens. Thanks for having me today, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Next, we're going to have our attorney, Mike Dolce, speak about the charges that we are filing with the National Labor Relations Board over the Hyatt's conduct in this union campaign.
Way to go, Mike Dolce.
Hello, yes, Mike Dolce, D-O-L-C-E, like the designer, from Hayes Dolce, a firm that works with the union. So yesterday, we filed an unfair labor practice charge, alleging the hotel violated the National Labor Relations Act in 25 different ways. Those violations can be generally categorized into two categories. One is illegal coercive conduct, and the other is illegal retaliation. In terms of the allegations of illegal coercive conduct, that includes unlawful surveillance, such as the employer using its security cameras to monitor workers, and also monitoring workers' social media activity. It also includes unlawful threats, such as telling workers that the hotel may close if they were to unionize, or that their wages will be lower if they unionize. In terms of the illegal retaliation, that includes both disciplining and terminating workers, as you have just heard, for previously unenforced policies, just totally out of the blue. You know, such despicable conduct on behalf of a large employer like this, in the face of its workers just attempting to exercise their fundamental rights to organize and collectively bargain, is completely unacceptable. And the union plans on fighting it tooth and nail so that workers can exercise those rights free from coercion and unlawful retaliation like this employer has done, and fight the employer's unilateral control of workers that they desperately attempt to cling to. So Thank you. I'll be here to answer any questions you guys have, but yeah, that's all I got.
That concludes our speaker list for this morning. We will be taking questions. We ask that people keep it to one question first and while we go through everybody, and then we'll go back for a second round.
Tiba, Luke, when you guys, you said they a lot, right? In terms of saying they're treating us this way. Are we talking specifically to the managers here? Who are we talking about specifically?
I believe...
Could you stand up?
Yeah, okay. I believe, honestly, we both were talking about the two managers that I did mention. I think that, like I said, they have even stopped other managers from trying to be neutral about the whole thing and told them that neutrality is not an option. You have to tell them no. It is specifically Steve and Nicole that have created that very hostile work environment here. And I have heard, like I said, multiple times from the two union-busting counselors that they keep bringing back here that it came from higher up and that we got someone important's attention. I'm not sure who they're talking about, but hopefully we'll find out soon.
So they,
that's me. Okay.
So they have told us, because we've asked that question, that they're independent consultants.
Do you remember Omar's last name?
No.
Omar Quadra is the name of the first consultant they brought in. We call him the good cop because he was very nice and, you know, sort of friendly in his demeanor. And then as we've moved closer to an election, they've brought in someone named Jaime, we don't know his last name, who is the bad cop here to tell us, you know, all the dark secrets about the union that we're organizing with and things like that.
When is that election set to take place?
We don't have a date yet.
How many signatures do you have?
That is...
I don't think... Yeah.
Yeah, that is not something that we can necessarily talk about publicly, actually.
Yeah.
I would just say that the workers had a strong majority in the unit that they petitioned for, and the Hyatt has been doing a number of union busting tactics, including trying to change the unit, trying to scare people, and so that's something that they're trying to do, which is another reason that we don't have an election date yet, because they're trying to use the NLRB process to elongate the process, frustrate people, make it more difficult. And do all of those types of things, as I said in the beginning, as Starbucks has done in the past as well.
And if I could just add to this, I mean, this isn't the question you asked, but the unit we petitioned for had, I think, 44, 45, 46 employees, and they fired 8 of them, so.
And this is just piggybacking off of everything. We were having a conversation about it last night. The unit that we had filed for is where the majority of the firings are happening, and it's where the majority of the intimidation is happening. They're firing people for attendance issues that didn't exist before, and people, for example, in housekeeping, which is not a part of the unit that we had petitioned for, are not getting disciplined for anything that people in what we had called the front of house are getting disciplined and fired for.
Is that what the unit is that is unionizing, is the front of house? What's the unit? How would you describe that unit?
So, yes, the front of house. People who would interact with customers on a regular basis are the people who we try to include in the unit. The company is telling us that they would like to unionize the entire hotel, but like I said before, they're using scare tactics with the housekeeping department to try and scare them from even talking to us or asking us questions about the unionizing process. And they're lying to them and bringing up hypotheticals in these meetings that are scaring them even more from the unionization process. So
48 members from the front of house unit. Is that the best way to describe that?
Yes.
For, you know,
yes.
To be accurate? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
How would you like the public to respond to this? What kind of action would the public take?
Honestly, that's not something that we really, really talked about, but we would love the exposure, because right now what they're doing is they're isolating everyone in the hotel from speaking up. We haven't had the chance to speak up about what's going on in the hotel, And I feel like that would at least, us speaking up, it would at least kind of tell them that we're very serious about this and that we're not scared of the tactics that they're pulling in that building right there behind me. And I'm hoping that it just shows people the kind of people that run this hotel, and hopefully it's up to people how they react about it.
I would also add, I think when we came public with this, I don't think they thought we were serious, right? Like I think they were planning on sort of quietly like strangling us out. And that's not what's happening, and that's not what's gonna happen. But I think specifically, like, the owner of this hotel, Douglas Stramall, is a very public figure. And I think he would be very unhappy, you know, to have a level of public pressure, you know, fall on him for the way that either he's encouraged the top managers here to act, or he's allowed them to act this way. And I think that's where we're hoping the public pressure comes in, you know, to sort of put some heat on Jamal, you know, and ask him, you know, to, you know, agree to a fair election and to actually give us the right to choose.
Do you have any sense that he's not? I mean, is that, you know, there's signs yeah. saying Douglas, you're yeah. pointing to managers, but what's your thoughts in terms of how he plays a role in this?
Well, we know that in the days immediately following when we, you know, publicly petitioned for an election, he was in this building holding a meeting with the top managers, and we've heard some things about what was said in that meeting, some of which are they in the charges we filed?
One of them.
Yeah, including that he told those managers that if, you know, a union was going to come in and make ridiculous demands, he was going to close the hotel. So I think Douglas knows what he's doing. Whether Ambridge hired these consultants, I think Douglas, you know, if he wanted to sign on to the fair election principles, you know, and give us a fair election here, I fully believe he has the power to do that.
I do have something to follow up on what Luke just said. The reason why we have these signs and about Douglas Jamal is I think the public is under the impression that Douglas is not at all involved in the running of this hotel or how things are being done because it is a management company. But I think everybody that works here can tell you that behind the scenes, he's definitely the one that runs everything. If one of his relatives needs a free room on a whim, we're supposed to give them a manager comped room. And he definitely is very involved in the process of the hotel and the way that it's run. Also, something that we didn't mention earlier, we actually received an email not too long ago telling us not to talk to the media at all about what's going on. And it was from Nicole, the HR manager. The entire hotel, we have a specific tag that the entire hotel gets, everyone with an email in that hotel can get if you send it to, and she sent it to the entire hotel saying to not talk to the media about anything that's going on inside the hotel when it comes to the union.
Oh, I haven't had a chance to see the charges.
Yeah, yeah.
I clearly will in this yeah. process. But just to be accurate here, the what you're maintaining is the issues with the managers that ultimately feedback the Douglas.
Yes.
Is that the way to say it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Other questions?
Something that we definitely would like to change is the staffing level in the hotel. I can tell you that since we started the union, the front desk has, what, 6 workers altogether? And two people for audit, two people that usually work mornings, and me and Luke who work evenings. And we have seen it time and time again from guests saying that we provide the best customer service that we could. I even remember seeing a review that was left on the Hyatt site saying that the workers looked devastated and tired after one of the nights where there's a lot that goes on in this hotel, and it's not just a normal front desk job. It's a big building with a lot of issues. But sincerely, even the guests notice that we try our best, but we're not properly staffed to take care of their needs. It's a very big hotel. We have 396 rooms. And we've been told by managers time and time again, if Douglas Jamal was to walk into the building and there are two people at the front desk, on a normal day, we could have anywhere from 150 to 200 plus check-ins. We were told that if Douglas was to walk through that door, one of us should go hide in the back because they're about to get sent home. The staffing levels in the hotel is ridiculous. I know that the Starbucks has been closing early every single day because they have sincerely two people that work there. And that has started happening right after we started unionizing. We were understaffed to begin with, but afterwards it just started getting ridiculous, honestly. And the other thing that we would like to fight for is definitely for workers to have clear job descriptions. And for us to have proper staffing throughout every single part of the day. It is a 24-hour business, and the fact that certain departments only work until a specific time, and then after that, it's just, if something was to happen and there is no one to take care of it, especially on a sold-out night, if something was to happen in one of the rooms and we needed to move someone, there's been plenty of times where we didn't have a housekeeper. We definitely don't have a housekeeper after 10 p.m. at all in the entire building. And it causes front desk audit workers to go and clean up by the Starbucks, to go and take out trash and stuff like that. So clear job descriptions is definitely a big, big thing that we would like to fight for, and staffing levels.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.